Hallelujah. Are you feeling the summer? Are you ready for the word this morning? Great. Please take your seats. And if you have your Bible, find the fourth chapter of Proverbs. Wonderful. I want to preach to you this morning on the world of hope. The world of hope. The world of hope. It's the world that comes alive when you close your eyes. The world of hope. Praise Jesus. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll start there with verse number 20. Let's read from 20, 21, and 22. Let's all read it together. It's good to put the word of God in your mouth. Amen. Are you ready? Read. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. Hallelujah to Jesus. Father, Lord, we greet your word this morning. We thank you so much for what you do with the seed of your word. We thank you for what comes alive when our eyes are closed and we can see your word for what it is. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. The world of hope, I just want to share, actually, let's take it as a testimony and part scripture as well. You know, the Old Testament Jews got this part of the Bible wrong in terms of their interpretation. Because in verse number 20 that we've just read, and verse number, it says, incline your ears to my sayings. And then in verse number 21, it says, keep them in the midst. Do not let them depart from where? From your sight. Right? And this is how they interpreted it. They used to take little boxes of scripture and put an elastic headband around their head and put the scripture right there in a box in front of their... In fact, they still do it today when they pray. They have this little headset thing. It looks like if you've ever been... What's that thing where you go to the doctor and he's got that little eye that I can't even remember. Is it... I don't know. It's like a torch thing they used to have in the front. Well, it looks like that. And they'll put this thing on their eye and it contains passages of scripture from the Old Testament. And they do that in response to that verse number 21, do not let them depart from your what? Sight. But you see, that's not what the Bible is talking about. Because the world of hope comes alive by what you see when your eyes are closed. Let me give you an example. God's protection. I believe that God protects his people. I believe that supernatural protection can belong to us. That if God tells you, you know what, don't get that bus today. Let that one pass by and take the other bus. Or don't take that way home today. Or the devil's going to try something on you this way. Let me give you an actual practical example of what was happening. 2009, I went to preach in Ghana. I was doing a crusade over there with Lawrence Tete. I was getting off the British Airways plane, and I had this little brown backpack. In fact, my children reminded me of it on holiday in Italy, because we actually bought it in one of the little islands off the coast of Sicily there back in, I think it's 2005, 6 when we went there on holiday. And I had this little black brown backpack on my back with all my bits, my Bible, my headphones, everything you need for a flight. And I was walking down the stairs. I was coming down the stairs off the plane. And the Lord said to me, he said, now, there's sometimes when God speaks to you and it's like a punch. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. God does speak to you. Amen. And it's important that you know his voice, you hear his voice, and you follow his voice. So I heard this voice, like a strong thing. He said, claim the protection of Jesus. So I claimed the blood of the Lamb. But as I did, it was such a forceful word that I gripped the banister coming down the steps. You know those steps off a plane, they're quite steep. And so I just held both banisters like that ever so suddenly. The next thing I hear from behind me, I hear, ah, Jesus, like this. There is a woman tumbling at full force down the steps. Now, I'm about like 5 or 6 steps down. And she is coming down on top of me fast. In fact, she hit me so fast that, you know, she was one of these women wears lots of foundation. Any women? Anyone here wear lots of foundation? No. No. She hit me so hard that the imprint of her face ended up on the back of my backpack. And it was there, wasn't it? Do you remember? And Benj and Abby reminded me of it just now in the holiday. And you see, now that's a practical demonstration of the protection of Jesus Christ, right? So now, the world of hope, when you close your eyes and you see the protection of God, you see his angels encompassing you. What does the Bible say? What is it? Psalm 34, he says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them, right? Now, when I close my eyes and I enter that world of hope, I see the angels of God around me, that whatever's necessary to bring about my protection, if I'm sitting on a plane and there's a faulty bit on the ground, you know, like in the plane, sometimes you get on a plane and they say, oh, ladies and gentlemen, we've just discovered a technical fault. And everyone goes, no. You ever been on a plane like that? No. Like, I'm so glad that they didn't discover it at 36,000 feet, where it's like minus 40 degrees. You understand? You can freeze dry yourself in seconds, you know? And so this is the kind of thing that I see. I'm glad when stuff like that happens on the ground, because that's the kind of thing I pray for. I pray for the pilots when I'm sitting on a plane. I pray for all sorts of stuff. If I start seeing, like, for instance, I was on my way to church this morning, I passed by 4 or 5 different coaches. So I started to pray that, you know, if there's any jihadi jacks or anything out there want to try themselves on a coach, stabbing up people or shooting them or blowing it up, that God will expose it before the coach even leaves the station. Amen. I don't know whether you've read the news lately, but that's the kind of world we're living in. Some guy set himself on fire yesterday. Did you hear that? It wasn't on the BBC. Oh, it was. It made the BBC. Oh, thank God. Right. Well, the first 2 bulletins I saw was all about swimming and diving and jumping and running. And, you know, it's the Olympic season. I think decent journalists are all on holiday. And anyway, I pray for the BBC daily, by the way, as well, that God will use it as a stronghold of Zion. Say amen, somebody. We need to get that thing. And some guy set himself on fire and then started stabbing people on a train in Switzerland. And I'm thinking, you know, Roro, our worship leader's in Switzerland. I'm not like, you know, Roro, are you okay? Yeah. But that's the kind of world we live in, right? But when I close my eyes, I live in a different world. The Bible says the wicked have bent their bows and sharpened their arrows for destruction. Their swords shall enter their own hearts and their bows shall be broken. Hallelujah. God gave me that scripture when the guys tried to blow up Edinburgh Airport in 2006? Do you remember they tried to blow up a nightclub in London and their bombs failed to go off? That whole week I'd been praying against terror exploits. And in fact, I shared the whole testimony one Sunday about that. It's a very, very powerful time. But this is the kind of world we live in, or at least that we as Christians should live in. When you're born again, first of all, right, you're like a baby, like this little baby here on the front row, little Rachel. She's my second cousin. She's so cute. She's got bum jaws like I had when I was a little fella, and the little baggy eyes as well. It's a giveaway. It's a giveaway, honey. When you're born again, you're like that little baby. And the Bible says, like newborn babes, earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word, whereby you may grow, right? So then, like when you come off the baby stage and you get weaned, that's when you become a child, right? There's a different battle. The battle for the baby is effectively to survive and everything like that. It needs parents to protect them and to raise them up and lift them up, right? But a child's battle is different, because a child has to grow to what? Maturity, right? So that's a different battle again. And the Bible talks about that battle being the battle between the flesh and the spirit. between the carnal mind, the Bible says, the mind that's set on the things of life. What shall we have? What shall we wear? What shall we drive? Where shall we live? All those kind of things. Those are the battles, if you like, in the carnal area of life, right? So you have to grow through those things. And this is where suffering comes in. That suffering is one of the things that is in our lives to help bring us to maturity. It doesn't mean that God's the orchestrator of it, but it does mean that we will go up, grow up, and go through things that we have to go through to reach maturity. The Bible says that the storms of life hit the houses of those who heard and did the word and those who heard and didn't do the word. So both both types of people get the storms of life. If you think that becoming a Christian means that you somehow get immunity from the storms of life, you are insane. And you need a different type of ministry rather than the world of hope. You need deliverance. And then you go from that thing into maturity. The Bible says that those who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And those kind of people are the people that we need to aspire to become. Led by the Spirit of God. Led into maturity. Led into the greater works. Can you say amen? I love the greater works of God. I love laying hands on the sick people and seeing them recover. I love prophesying and seeing that word come to pass. That's the kind of thing that I thrive and live for. Now, in the 8th chapter of Romans, the Bible talks about the world of hope in relation to becoming a mature person. It talks about the carnal mind being set on the things of this world and that it's really in enmity towards God. It can't understand the things of God. And then he talks about the realm of hope and he says, hope which is seen is not hope. In other words, the things that you see with your eyes open have little or nothing to do with the world of the Spirit. And when you lay hold of the things of the world of the Spirit, then that's what takes you then into that level of maturity. I was thinking about this morning. I wanted a great example of this kind of journey, if you like, from spiritual infancy into spiritual adolescence and then into spiritual maturity. And I remember the story of this guy who's a postman. Now, this could be anything. It can be a postman. It can be a dustman. It can be a bus driver. It can be a cleaner. It can be a laborer. It can be a bank clerk or anything like that. But I just want to give you this story of progression, right? So we take a guy, for instance, who used to work for Royal Mail, right? The Brits call it Royal Mail. Anyone work for Royal Mail? No, okay. Anyone here ever worked for Royal Mail? You used to work for Royal Mail. And I was thinking of you this morning when I thought of this because it's an actual example of what I'm talking about, right? That this guy, he comes to London, used to live in Germany, right? And you couldn't fathom Germany anymore because it was like, you know, you told me every 10 yards you go, they ask for your papers. I don't know, it's like an atmosphere of tension and racism and all sorts of stuff like that. They suffered terribly over there. So they came to the UK and living in West London. And that's where I met them. They came to Harvest somehow. I don't even know how you heard of Harvest. Oh, Floris told you. Wow, thank God. Look at that, burnt oak florist. Praise God. Man, you should go in there and dump some seed on them because, like, what? Okay, it went bust. Okay, welcome to burnt oak. Hallelujah. Let's move swiftly along. But they were very much, when they came into Harvest, they were very much in a kind of stage of spiritual infancy, right? Lot of squabbles, lot of tension. I remember coming to visit you one time and you could cut the tension between you with a knife. It was so tense. And just the storm, like, you know, the Bible talks about being tossed around with waves and storms and everything, you know, like, goodness, where do we go? Right, that's a sign of spiritual infancy. Amen. And it's important to locate yourself where you are. If spiritually you're an infant, it doesn't matter if you've been born again 50 years. If you're still in that stage of immaturity where everything's a hustle and a tussle and blah, 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 and it's like watching kids in a creche, then you're an infant. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you look like a suspect. Yeah. And so I remember because, like, you see, there's something about me, right? I'll take a risk on your life. If I see potential in you, then it's my job to get that potential out of you and get it active and dynamic so that it actually does something in your life. It's like that kind of thing, you know, like Michelangelo, people used to say, like, how do you see such a thing in a lump of rock? I mean, this guy who carved the statue of David out and everything like that, that was just so beautiful and so majestic. He says, well, I see the potential in it. I don't see the rock for what it is. I see what's in the rock that can come out. He says, my job is just to draw it out. And that's how I feel sometimes. That's how I felt with Terry and Viv and with many other people that have been disciples of the house for a long time. And so I saw this all potential and if I see that in you, then I'm willing to take a risk. Because you can take what I say and get offended and walk off. And you'll be none the better. And there's thousands of churches in London for such people. But if I see something in you and I see that potential, then I'm willing to take the risk to carve it out of you. Prepare to be carved out. No, I'm kidding, I'm joking. But that's really, really and truly, that's part of my job as a minister of the gospel. I would be doing a disservice to the Spirit of God whom I serve. And, you know, we've, like, church has changed over the last 30 years where it's like people who who are pastoring churches and leading churches and everything like that, you know, don't say anything to offend brother so-and-so because he's a big giver and as a result you won't be able to pay the mortgage on that. I'd rather burn the house down. That's the God's honest truth. In fact, I don't even know who the big givers are. I'm not even interested in that. As far as I'm concerned, this ministry's success is built on its giving, not on some big fat rich person who's... Do you understand? So, and may it always be that way in the name of Jesus Christ. May the integrity of the house never be compromised by money and financial wealth. In fact, I've just realized some of the biggest givers into Harvest have received the harshest words from me. Isn't that amazing? Maybe I should get more harsh. Yes. Hallelujah. Some of the masochists are shouting, yay. Right. So I took a risk. With Terry, I remember it so well. We were in a cell meeting in Colindale, a house group back then in Colindale. And I could see something, I could see such great potential in Terry. And back then, you must have been on maybe 5 to 15% of your potential that was on the inside of him. And I just wanted to, and one day, I don't know how God does it. You just get to that place in the spirit and anything can happen. I said, Terry. I said, your problem is your big mouth. I said, you need to learn, this is what I told him, I said, you need to learn the vocabulary of silence. Isn't that a risk? I like taking risks. There's something about taking risks. Something's good, you know? It's good. Sometimes you've got to put all the chips on the one thing and just see what happens, you know? Take a risk. I took a risk marrying you. Look at the stuff. I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding. I hit the jackpot when I married. That's the God's honest truth, right? And I saw, and I could see God took Terry on this journey, and he's the one who came and shared this with me so that every word I'm saying is true. Yeah. He went on this journey as a result. And this is how the world of hope works, right? You close your eyes, you allow, like the Bible says, it says, allow the word of God to dwell in you richly. And I don't know, I've never been an advocate of like read a chapter a day. Or if you're getting to know your Bible, by all means, everyone should get to know their Bible. But to me, sometimes a verse a week is more than enough. Because that verse will sit in me when I close my eyes. For instance, the Bible says in Psalm 119 and somewhere around the 130th verse, it says, I rejoiced at your word like one who finds great treasure. And I saw that one day. I saw me opening the Bible, and in the pages of the Bible, they turned into, you know, that kind of felt stuff that they carry diamonds in. You don't need to. It's just to enhance the beauty of the diamond, because like diamonds are the hardest substance on earth. But they have it in this thing. And I saw the pages of my Bible turning into this black felt kind of stuff, this velvet stuff, and opening up and seeing the jewels and the diamonds of God's word. And I sat on that scripture, that one verse of scripture, for weeks and weeks and weeks. And the word of God, as a result, became a treasure to me. And I thought, wow, this is exactly what I'm looking for in life. And I just, do you understand what I'm saying? So the world of hope, that world that's bigger when you shut your eyes, right? Now, if you use it, if you need, for instance, the word of God to work in the area of your character, then you can find scriptures that will work on your character and then close your eyes and see that word carving that character out of you, right? And so this is the journey that he went on. And it's like literally he started to believe in himself. See, loads of, I mean, if I was to ask everybody here, hands up if you believe in God. Everybody here, the Bible says even demons believe God. They believe in God. That's what the Bible says in the book of James. Even a demon believes in God, right? So if you don't believe in God, you're actually worse than a demon. But anyway, that's a different issue. Right. Now, if I were to tell you, take that word, close your eyes, and apply it to yourself, right? What happens? You start to believe in yourself. You start to see yourself a different way. You no longer see yourself as the postman, working shifts and everything like that. Here's how it happened to me, because I went through this process when I lived in Ireland. I got a job as a hospital porter. You know, as one guy said, oh, you're a great man at your job, wheeling the cripples. That's what how he described my job. And I would take people, like if they needed physiotherapy, like I'd take them to the physio ward. If they needed surgery, we'd wheel them into the surgery. If they died, then we'd take them off to the morgue. All that kind of stuff, right? Hairy old job. And then they asked me if I could cover in the physiotherapy department because they needed an extra pair of hands. So I worked in the physiotherapy department. And my boss there, she was an avid reader of this newspaper called The Irish Independent. Is The Irish Independent still going? It is, right. They used to call it The Indo. And so I'm reading this Irish newspaper, and I'd always, because I only got two O-levels and one CSE back in the day in school, because like when I showed up at school, people said, oh yeah, who are you again? So that was my qualification. I wasn't very good at school. I wasn't very well educated. But I'm starting to read this Irish Independent. Now, this is how God started working on me in my world of hope, right? I start reading this Irish Independent newspaper, and it's full of typos. You know what a typo is? Like a spelling mistake? And I'm thinking, hang on a second. I must be cleverer than these people, because they're writing this newspaper, they can't even spell. And that was the first inkling, because I was thinking about this, how did it happen in my life? And I started to think, wow, you know what, I can spell better than these people. And then I started to read some of the comments and some of the stuff, some of the spin that they had on the story. And I think I started to think to myself, you know what, I can even think better than these people. This thing isn't even clever to me. Then they started to do the crossword. My boss loved doing the crossword. And there were all sorts of things. And she would be on this crossword. Anyone a real crossword fan? Like the real hard ones? Anyone a real crossword fan here Right. You know the real hard one, and you think and you think and you think. And like that can stay with you all day, right? Now, she was degree educated from Trinity College Dublin, did a medical degree, went into physiotherapy. She was very famous throughout the whole of Ireland in sports physio and everything like that. And she, there were answers that she couldn't get that were as plain and as simple as ABC to me. One of them was four letters, the alternative Californian girl. Any answers? And that the answer was Orla, or L.A., the alternative Californian girl. To me, it was plain as day, right? Now you're all thinking, he must be really clever. shall I go on? My favorite one, somebody will get this. The old king's rule for salad days. The old king's rule for salad days. No, sort of. Very good guess. Shall I tell you? Yes. Coleslaw. Old King Cole's law. The old king's rule. How many now you just fit to like shoot me with something, right? Okay. Now, these things, I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. I really honestly think it was the Holy Spirit showing me that I was cleverer than I was. Because that's when I started to believe in myself. And like I said earlier, you know, everyone believes in God, but like how much do you believe in yourself? What does the Bible say? We have what? The mind of Christ. Ooh. So God was showing me, you see, I'm quoting this scripture. Back then in those days I was working part-time, 9 till 1. So then from 2 till 5, I was in my bedroom with my Bible, seeing the word of God as true. And this was how it was manifesting in the world of reality. Now, I saw the same transformation in Terry that I'd gone through myself. He started to believe in himself. And then, so then he thought, you know what? Instead of being a post office worker, shift worker, just like box shifting and bag shifting and everything like that, you know what? I'm going to try for another job. And an opportunity came up to become a PCSO, a police community support officer, right? And he started walking the beat, like the police there, the PCSOs. And he enjoyed it, but it wasn't really fully flicking your switch, was it? And then this job came up. And this is how it works, you see. Like when you allow the word of God, we are so dependent on our education. The system of Babylon. Who are you and how well educated are you? What piece of paper can you show me that you've been through Nebuchadnezzar's training? Same system. Babylon. Right? We are so used to being conditioned. No Babylon certificate equals stupid. Babylon certificate equals clever. How far you go in Babylon then determines what salary you can earn. So it's like, what, 450 grand a year with no O-levels? Why not? Why not? The Bible says we have been given the mind of Christ. Christ was the ultimate problem solver. Amen. A man is dead for 3 days, no problem. Hey, mommy. Problem solved. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about this in relation to healing, about the value that you would put on healing. And the one that God gave me back in the day was Linda McCartney, the wife of Paul McCartney. Her name before she got married was Linda Eastman. I don't know if you know the name Eastman, but you certainly were heard of Eastman Kodak. You remember Kodak, the camera people? Right. She was an heiress of the Kodak family. They used to say that every time a flashbulb went off, now this is back in the day when you had things like negatives. How many of you remember negatives? My kids don't know what a negative was. Daddy, she asked, didn't she, Abby? She says, yeah, mummy, what's a negative? It's like, goodness me, that's a different era. They used to say that every time a flashbulb went off, that she got 0.01 of a cent. That's how rich she was. When she died, it was a very tragic death. She died of cancer. When she died, she had $500 million to her name. And she died of breast cancer that then spread. And I thought, wow, because at the time I was watching Benny Hinn videos and I was seeing people getting healed of breast cancer and lumps disappearing. And I thought, wow, that is I can put an economic value on somebody getting healed of breast cancer, because $500 million couldn't extend her life by one day. I thought, wow. So now you see that somebody who's developed in the healing ministry to the extent of the likes of Benny Hinn, where he's so developed in that ministry, so used to working with the glory of God and the presence of God. And I worked with him for 7 years. I saw the most astounding stuff happen in his life and ministry. Absolutely astounding. He had a radar. He still has a radar. He could tell straight. Just by looking at what's up with you, because it's so well defined, right? Now, where does that happen? That happens in the unseen world. That happens in the world of hope, where instead of becoming being the woman who touches the hem of Jesus' garment, you become the one wearing the garment that the woman can touch. Do you see what I mean? That's the development of hope. That's into maturity in the realm of ministry, right? That's a very, very powerful concept. And then I thought, wow, what did Steve Jobs die of? Pancreatic cancer, right? How much was he worth? What, 12 billion? Something like that. So we can put an economic value on what God's healed you of. Powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. The world of hope. I remember sitting. I used to go home from work, like I told you, finish at 1 o'clock, 2 till 5. I'm in my bedroom worshiping and praising God. I see myself. I close my eyes and I see myself. The Bible says, delight yourself. You will delight yourself in the Lord, and your feet shall ride upon the high places of the earth. And I saw myself going to the nations and preaching the gospel, and not having the bus fare to get out of town in the natural, but it didn't matter. I wasn't in the natural anymore. I was in the world of hope. I was allowing the word of God to dwell richly in me, and I knew enough about God back then that if he said it, he'd do it. Praise Jesus. And so now let's get back to Terry's story. Terry thinks, you know what? Let me tell you, I know that I can be a good trainer. I know, I can see where things can improve in the world. He's now one of the chief trainers at the Metropolitan Police College in Hendon. World standard training. World standard. I think you can do better than that. Maybe God will promote you as a result. Yeah. Because that's the world of hope. Remember what I said about the excuses. Jesus, I wish I could be healed when the angel stirs the water, but there's no one to throw me in. Well, just roll over, dude. Really and truly, he was afraid of drowning. That's the truth. He was afraid of drowning. There'd be no one to pick him out of the water. That's what he was worried about, if God doesn't heal him. Well, paralyzed guy, do you know what I mean? You're paralyzed from the waist down. It's a risk. It's a risk. So this is the world. You see, when you close your eyes and you enter that world of hope, nobody tells you you can't. Nobody tells you that you can't. And I can tell the look on some people's face. Pastor P, I've been wasting my time. I've been carrying around my Bible and thinking, smooch my Bible, kiss my Bible. I haven't believed a word that it said. Huh? Conquest people. That's what we are. It's our conquest year. Fight, conquer, dwell. Nothing should be impossible to us. Because the Bible says all things are possible to him or her who believes. So if I can stay in that zone of believing and not allow the circumstantial world to take hold of me, That's the crux of the matter. That's the difference between success and uber success. It doesn't come, this kind of thing, the juice of this kind of thing, the fuel of this kind of thing, doesn't come from the seen natural world. It comes from the unseen supernatural world. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to thank God for his word today. Thank you, Father. Lord, we bless your holy name. We thank you so much, wonderful Jesus, for the things that you're doing in us. Lord God, we thank you for that realm of hope. We thank you for examples, Lord God. People who had marriages that were a ruin, an absolute ruin, that are now, today, going around the world and preaching in the marriage ministry. People who were completely debilitated by sicknesses, by diseases, by all kinds of allergies, who are now going around the world healed of incurable stuff. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for your wonderful nature. It's your nature at work in us, doing the impossible with the improbable. Thank you, Father. And all we have to be is available. God, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you thanks. Let your kingdom come in our lives, Lord. Let your will be done in us and through us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this world of hope. Right now, as we're thanking God for his word, if there's an area in the realm of hope that you know you need to develop, just start with it now. Just take the word of God that pertains to your situation. Let that thing start to incubate. Jesus described us as his sheep. The Bible says, like a shepherd, he'll lead his flock. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. We are compared to sheep from Genesis to Revelation. And one of the reasons that is so is because sheep have an ability. We read it in the book of Genesis around the 29th chapter, that we have an ability as sheep to reproduce images. It's too complex to go in right now, but you read the story of Jacob and the speckled sheep, Laban and his sheep, and you'll see a very key secret in the Word of God. We are nation transformers because we can close our eyes and see our nation transformed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this world of hope. As you turn the scripture into a picture, you develop it on the inside of us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.